Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us as a family, the expression as family, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. I expect you to be in your Bible now and not in side talks. This prayer is very important to our lives, to us as individuals, and to us as a church. There's a lot of revelation that comes from praying this prayer every day. I've encouraged you, and I'm encouraging you again, pray it every day. So when I'm praying it, I expect you to be praying it along with me. I don't want side talks now. I take verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Can I have an amen to that? This prayer would help you to know the Lord more. This prayer will help to birth revelation of Jesus in your spirit. The man of God that Hagen prayed this same prayer, and within the space of 3 to 6 months, he had a visitation from the Lord, and he began to have an understanding into the subject of faith. A very, very crucial subject to our Christian life. Faith is so important that in some places in the Acts of the Apostles, you would see that the Bible records that our entire Christianity is even summarized as faith. He said that many were added to the faith. That's how important faith is. Faith is so important that without it, you cannot please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, Beth, can we have that on the screen? Hebrews 11 and verse 6, quickly, please. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He didn't say without prayer, you cannot please God. He didn't say without giving, you cannot please God. Like people have taken giving to another level. Some pastors that God did not call, who called themselves, have taken money and giving and seed sowing to another level. They will even equate it to, if you don't sow seed, you cannot hear from God. I mean, those kind of abuse, those are not scriptural teachings. The Bible says that one thing is needful if you want to live a life that pleases God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God with my life. What life are we living if God is not pleased? What Christianity are we practicing if the head of the church is not pleased with our lives? When I meet him face to face, one thing I want to hear from Jesus is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. I want to hear that. Like my father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adebwe, would say, I want to win the smile on his face. When I see Jesus, I want to smile. I don't want to frown. I don't want to hear, depart from me, you walk out of iniquity, I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. So I want to please God. And the Bible says the way to please him is the way of faith. For without faith, they took it from the screen, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible. So no matter what you do, without faith, it's impossible. If you pray without faith, that prayer is a waste of time. If you fast without faith, that fasting is a waste of time. If you give your money without faith, it's the waste of your resources. So faith is very central, very, very central to our walk with God. Faith is very pivotal to our serving God. And the Lord began to give that Hagin revelation on faith when he prayed this prayer. Because this prayer would open your eyes. The title of the message is Lord, Open My Eyes. And I believe I'm doing the third teaching in the series. I don't want you to take this teaching for granted. I want you to go back and listen on Audio Mac, Spotify. Download the message and listen again. These messages are not common in the days in which we live. People are looking for breakthroughs, breakout, breakdown. They do not know that their breakthrough is in maintaining intimacy with Jesus. And these kind of messages will help you to maintain intimacy. Because you will see the Lord like you should see him. Many have a concocted picture of Jesus. Many have a distorted vision of Jesus. This prayer here, this message will help you to see Jesus clearly. I said that to us last week. I said, why is it important for our spiritual eyes to be enlightened? Why is that important? And I'm going to repeat that point number one and maybe push to point number two if time permits me. And then we're going to go. Amen. Well, you have other things. You take testimonies and then close the service. Why is it important for us to have spiritual enlightenment? You see, when Adam fell, listen up. When Adam fell, his eyes of understanding became darkened. Adam was the first creature God made. Can anything be better than the very first product from God? The very first that God launched into the market. But he messed up all the privileges. He messed up everything that God handed over to him. He was the God of this world. He was in charge of this world. He named all the animals, gave them their names. He was running everything. God handed everything over to him. Son, run it. And then he messed it all up. When he messed it all up, his eyes of understanding became darkened. Because God said, the day you eat of that particular fruit, of that particular tree, you will surely die. Now, he didn't die physically, but something died in him. Die. May you not lose your spiritual vision. I'm going to give you some illustrations this morning that you see, and maybe it will help some of us adjust and go beyond the level of arguments and arguing certain things. Some people argue because their eyes are darkened. They can't see. The psalmist cried out, Lord, open my eyes. Paul prayed the same thing. We should pray the same thing. In Psalm 119 and verse 18, he said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. The Bible, the word of God, will remain a storybook until your eyes are opened. And today, many don't make much out of reading the Bible. They read, they even try to study, but they don't get much from the Bible. Many don't even know that the solution they're looking for, running up and down, helter-skelter, from Japan to South Korea, is actually loaded in the word of God. And all it takes is for your eyes to be open to see and then to walk in obedience. That's why it's important. You can be with the solution and not know that you have the solution around you. You can be in the midst of a prosperous environment and still die as a pauper. That's why they say that the graveyard is the richest place in the world. You know why? Because many songs were never released. Many albums were never waxed. Many innovations never saw the light of day. Many designs never came out. People died with their potential. Kai! We will not die with potential. We will live and express our God-given potential. We will bring blessings to the body of Christ and we'll bring blessings to this world in the name of Jesus. Do you realize how important it is for you to have light? About 100 years ago, about 150 years ago, there was no electricity. People were living in darkness. People were living with candles in the evening, everywhere, all over the world, including America. Candles, candles. Until a man by the name Benjamin Franklin, I think it was, and some other people that were Christian scientists began to think that there should be a way that we are going to have power. There was no power. They needed power. Imagine how they survived in the winter. Winter is not the same age mate as Harmattan. Nigerian Harmattan multiplied by 10 is equal to winter, or maybe multiplied by 20. People literally freeze to death in winter if they don't have a shelter. You dare not build a facility like this in America and not put your central heater. The same space where your AC is coming from is turned to heater during the winter. You dare not drive a car that doesn't have a heater. Maybe I've shared my experience with you before. 2014 January, I traveled during the winter, so January is winter. And we went to Washington, D.C. We had a good time, went to the White House and all of that. They took me around America, and then we went back home in Maryland. The bottle of water I was drinking, I didn't finish it. I dropped it in the car. The next day, we traveled to Virginia. So the next day, we were now going to go to the White House. And as I got in the car, they handed me the bottle of water that I didn't finish yesterday. That bottle of water had turned to ice block. And they said, Pastor Fred, this was the water you didn't finish. I said, no, guys, don't mess up with my mind. I mean, don't play on my intelligence. Said, no, we're not playing on your intelligence. We all just got in the car. This bottle of water, you left this yesterday. I mean, they didn't tell me I was part of this. I saw it myself. The remaining water had turned to ice block. It could never come into my mind growing up in Africa that water can go from liquid state to solid state without going through the freezer. They convinced me. I saw it. I held it. So I asked the question, what if someone forgot to step out of the car because he was tired and slept off? Or someone said, let me just have a, I just want to take a nap. What will happen by the morning? They will just meet him in that condition. Frozen to death. Some of you might find that hard to believe because you've never seen anybody frozen to death here. It doesn't happen here because of our climate. Imagine how they survived when there was no electricity. Of course, they had fireplaces where they would put charcoal and burn wood and all of that to keep them warm. I'm talking about life before power came, before light came. Benjamin Franklin, I think it was, one day saw lightning in the sky. Chakra, and he said, that's a combination of power. That's what you can call power being packed in something, in one place. And so he did an experiment, got himself some metal, and did 1, 2, 3 connections, just trying to see if he could connect that power. And man, he got a real shock of his life. They began to think, they began to pray. They began to think, they began to pray. How can we convert that power and then store it and then distribute it? Let it come into our homes. Let it power appliances. And that was how they began to have breakthroughs upon, and then other physicists were building on it and scientists were building on it until we have what we have today. Imagine what life would be like in the dark age. Today, some of you cannot survive 24 hours without your mobile phone. If they take your phone from you, it's like they've taken your life. Especially number one. Now, don't try with me. Don't try to steal my phone. Nobody steals here. We're all children of God. Can I have an amen? You know the number one place I'm going to miss if it's my phone? My WhatsApp. Because WhatsApp connects me all over the world. That's where all my contacts are. That's where somebody's chatting me. Business is coming. Ministration, whatever. Everything. I mean, so if you take us away, if you all like MTN shut down, Glow shuts down, Etisalat shuts down. If you are hearing my message, I'm just giving an illustration. MTN, Glow, Etisalat, please don't shut down. If they shut down for 1 week, what would life look like? Some of you won't even be able to school because every course material is online. You need data to download, upload, read. Am I making sense this morning? Imagine what life would be like without technology. 100 years from now, we can't even imagine what it's going to look like. And I can guarantee you, if the Lord has not returned, 100 years from now, that generation will look back and laugh at you and say, how did you survive? Because of the kind of technology that would come. I remember growing up in the 80s. It never came into our mind that you could be somewhere, make a phone call, you know, with one small device, and then call another person. We didn't have cellular phones. We had land phones. And then cellular phones, once in a while, you would see with the extremely rich, and it was this big. If they give you that today as a gift, it's your birthday, and they give you Thuraya. Or they give you some of those old phones, very big. Samsung, Sajem, very big, very big. It doesn't look good. Are you getting what I'm saying? But as of the time we had it, it looked like the best. Our eyes were still dark until we began to have light. And then somebody would say, oh, you know, you can take a phone and take a picture. Nah, stop lying. How can you use a mobile phone to take a picture? When Nokia 3310 was the latest thing in town. You couldn't take a picture with that. We were satisfied and content with the fact that we could make a call. We could send text messages and we were okay. Before WhatsApp came, before video calls came, before every other thing that we have now. And I am telling you that because light comes in progression, knowledge is in degrees. In another 20 years from now, the technology we are running right, 20 years is too long. The technology you are running today, in another 10 years, will become archaic. If things can be happening like that in the natural, can we also look at the supernatural? Can we look at the spiritual realm? Why should you remain on the same level 1 year, 2 years, 5 years of working with the Lord? You don't have a new revelation. You don't have a higher level of revelation. You don't know Jesus more. You are still doing the same thing you were doing 5 years ago, 10 years ago, till today. Still repenting of the same sin. Your eyes are dark. You need light. Somebody say, open my eyes, Lord. You grow in the Lord to a certain level and you know, I can't do that anymore. No, if you're looking for me, don't look for me in that place. I will never be found dead there anymore. Why do people backslide? Their eyes become darkened. Their eyes become darkened. Because they walked away from the light. Lord, open my eyes. When it does, what will happen? You will see Jesus. You will see Jesus like you should. And we need to have progressive revelation of the Lord. You need to know him more. The Lord does not increase in size. It cannot be bigger. But you can have greater light as you walk with him. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just. Talk to me if you read your Bible. Is like what? A shining light. And then how does it shine? Does it remain the same? It shines how? More and more. Excuse me. Shines more and more unto the perfect day. Can I have an amen to that? In Romans 8:18, Paul said, for we perceive. I reckon, rather. For I reckon. Reckoning is a level of knowledge. What did he reckon there? He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Reckoning is one level of knowledge. But he didn't stop at reckoning. Now, move on to verse 10 verses after that. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together. What does he know? That all things, no matter what we go through, work together for good to them that love God and to them who have been called according to his purpose. We know is a higher level than we reckon. When you say I reckon, is as good as I perceive or like I feel. You know, but when you say I know, say, do you know? I reckon that, we don't want to do with your reckoning. Do you really know? Do you know Pastor Fred? Well, I perceive he's a pastor in the Stone Church. That's reckoning. Don't blame the guy. That's the much he knows about me. But if they ask someone that really knows me, oh, I know PFE. He's a pastor in the Stone Church. Yes, I know. But there is another level of knowing which only people that are very intimate with me know, which other people in the first two categories don't know. 10 verses after. Verse 38. For I am what? Persuaded. To be persuaded. I don't know why your sound is messing up. Come on, guys. I'm persuaded that neither death. Persuasion is that highest form. When you are fully persuaded about anything, nobody can change your mind. Did you hear what I said? When you are fully persuaded about anything, nobody can change your mind. You got fully persuaded to come to church this morning. That's how you came. Nobody dragged you from home. I'm persuaded. What was this persuasion? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, etc., 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 shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we should increase in knowledge. Our light should increase. Arise. Shine. Isaiah 16 verse 1. For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Put it there. Why? For the darkness shall cover the earth. And these are the days when darkness is covering the earth. And gross darkness the people. But hey, church, what did God say concerning you? Concerning your life. What did he say? Come on, talk to me now. Can you see the scripture? What is God saying about you? But the Lord will what? Will arise and upon you, and then his glory shall be seen upon your life. No shame. Somebody say, no shame in my life. The next time you see me, all you will see is the glory. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. The next time you see me, you see the glory of God. If I tell them, take a look at me right now. Can you see the glory? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You'll begin to see Jesus. When your eyes are enlightened, Jesus stops to be a Bible character. He becomes a real person. A person you can relate to. A person you can talk to. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. I love him. I worship. I adore him. But guess what? He's also my friend. You will begin to see him like you should see him. Acts 26 verses 14 to 18. Paul was reporting here after he had been apprehended by the Lord. He was reporting when, he was defending himself, I think, before Agrippa, the king. And he said that he was apprehended by Jesus. And then he recounted his encounter with the Lord Jesus. Now, his eyes of understanding were darkened before. When his eyes were darkened, he was very zealous in the religion of the Jews. He was killing Christians. Anybody that named the name of Jesus, he would go after them and kill them. But when he had that encounter, that brother never remained the same. He now became zealous for Jesus because now his eyes of understanding had been enlightened. That's why he said, we need to say that prayer. We need to say that prayer. Because when you see Jesus, your eyes will be open. Your eyes will be open. One of the things he said is that Jesus said to me to turn people from darkness to light. Can you put that? Give me that verse. From darkness to light, and then from the power of Satan to the power of God. To open their eyes. Yes, first of all, to open their eyes. This was the mission that God sent Paul on. God sent him on a mission. Jesus sent him on a mission. He said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness, number one, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen to that? To open their eyes. May our eyes of understanding be enlightened this morning. Can I have a very living amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There is no point coming to church if you don't come to Jesus. People can be born in church, live all their lives in church, die in church, and never really know Jesus. Many, many Christians today know their pastors, they know their apostles, they know their bishops, they know all the quotable quotes, but they don't know Jesus. All it takes is for you to listen to them, especially in crisis moment. What are you singing? What you say is a function of what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said the mouth speaks. What have you loaded in your heart? Any encounter with Jesus? Do you have your own personal encounter with Jesus that you can say, that you can tell other people? So when you pray this prayer, you will see Jesus like you should see him. I really am praying for us that we will not just see Jesus, but we would see him like we should see him in the name of Jesus. For when Jesus is revealed to our hearts, we'll walk in love at all times. And therefore, we'll walk in victory over every challenge like Jesus did. 1 John 4:8, the Bible says that God is love. 1 John 4:16, God is love. Jesus went everywhere doing good. How? Because love was in action. Love walking on two legs. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. You don't naturally go out of your way to go and be a blessing to people, to go and pray for the sick. Everybody naturally, all of us naturally, normally are very, very selfish. To pay transportation fare, to go from here to Ojo, to go and sit down with a sister that is sick for 1 hour, sharing God's word with them and praying for them to get up from the sick bed. That is love in demonstration. The natural thing is, I don't have money. Because the little money I have, I want to use it to feed myself. Let me talk to you guys. Do you all love to have the power of God? Do you all love to see the power of God in operation in your life? Maybe that's a better way to put it. That is, lay hands on the sick and they recover. You see some blind woman in the market and you say, in the name of Jesus, boom, and then her eyes are open. Do you like that? Now, the reason many like that is because they want to be seen as big men of God, big women of God. They want the aggrandizement. They want the credit. But if you genuinely, really want to see that in action, you can't do it without love. You have to love the people first. The reason people are not healed sometimes is because love is not flowing from the heart of the one praying for them. You know, God checks the heart. He searches the heart. He knows what is in the heart of every man. He knows when you are trying to pray for someone because you want to be seen as a spiritual giant. But he also knows when you pray for someone because you love them so much, you don't want them to remain in that condition. You feel their pain. How can a child of the Most High God be bent over for 18 solid years? Jesus said, whom Satan has bound. A woman in the Bible was bent over like this. He said, Satan bound her. And then love loosed her. Jesus said to her, woman, thou art loosed. There was a man that came to the temple as Jesus was preaching God's word. The man's hand was withered. He had a hand that was withered. Before Jesus healed him, he said, get up. It was Sabbath day. And normally, by the Jewish law, you don't do any work on Sabbath day. You don't do any work, including doing miracles. Jesus said, get up. The guy got up. Jesus asked all the religious people of the day, hey, is it good to set this guy free on Sabbath day or not? Is it good to do good works for this guy today or not? They all kept quiet because they didn't know what to say. And Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. A hand that had been withered was stretched forth. Life was restored to that hand. And some of them were murmuring, if you want to work, you work. You have 6 days to work. Don't work on the Sabbath. Church people, don't work on Sabbath. They were not even happy that this guy got his freedom. They were bothered about their religion. Jesus said, you hypocrites. How many of you will not take your animals for watering because it's Sabbath? How many of you will find your animal falling into a pit and you won't pick it up because it's Sabbath? You leave it to die. How much more these people? These are God's people. You should love people and use things, not to use people and love things. What we have in our country today is people using people. And loving things. They love things, but they use people. Scammers, that's what they do. They love things, so they will do anything to gather. They use people to gather resources. There are churches also that do that, and it's sad because they have not seen Jesus the way they should see them. People don't mean anything to them because the crowd will always come. They always expect the crowd, so your life doesn't matter. And I pity some of our people, some of you that leave this church, and probably some of you that are planning to leave. As I did not force you to come, I cannot force you to leave. If you leave, God bless you. I can only pray for you. Some of them go to places where they are really used. They don't care when they don't see you in church. They don't care when you fall sick. They don't care you got sacked from your place of work. What's my business with that? When a demon shows up in your house in the midnight, it is us that you call. But when you have a breakthrough, you think, oh, no, Expression House, I'm too big for this church. I'm making money now. So you go to a church where they have connections and then where you can meet people like you, people of your caliber, you know, that have vibes like you, people that come to church with nice cars. How many of Expression House members have cars? That's how also when you die, they don't care about you. They don't care. There are many, many people like that suffer in silence in some of those places, and they really don't care a hoot. What, they have a target. Do you know many people are running churches as business today? It's business venture. How many people are going to show up on Sunday? They have a target. How much money are we going to realize? It is now about the income and not about the outcome. I'm not saying we are the only church that loves. Many churches also love, but be careful. Proverbs 27 verse 8, as a bird that wanders out of his nest, so is a man that wanders out of his place. When you go out of your place, you are vulnerable. Vulnerable to attack of the enemy. You don't know people. We need Jesus. We need to see Jesus. And the question I always ask about people that jump from place to place. Are we serving Jesus here? Or Satan? Are we serving Jesus or Satan? Are you sure it's Jesus we're serving here? So when you go somewhere else and you claim you want to go and serve Jesus, did Jesus tell you that he has left Expression House? Or some graduate, the moment they graduate, the time they're supposed to give back to the community that made them from childhood through teenage, through your youthful days, the time to give back to the same community, you disappear. Because somehow, this place is just too toxic for me. Every church is a collection of human beings. And if human beings are human beings everywhere, it's only a matter of time. Please stay where you have gone to. They will show you pepper. The kind of pepper that you will be too ashamed to come back here. Because you can tell that where I'm coming from, I have never been treated this bad. You know why? Because they don't value you. They don't care about you. You are just another number. If you go, another person will come. In fact, three people are waiting to come. Let your head be correct. What are we looking for? People migrating from church to church. Church migration is one of the worst jackpot that we have in the world. We need to see Jesus like he is. If he's the same Jesus, we need to see him better. I drive home a few more points. This point, I'm not done with this point. And then I'll go to the next. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. You know, Jesus touched a leper in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 8 from verses 1 to 3. He touched a leper. Nobody touches a leper. That was love in action. The leper came to him as he was coming down from a mountain and said, look, if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. I hope I have the attention of everybody. And Jesus said, I will. He touched him and said, be thou clean. Some Bible scholar said he actually hugged him and said, I will, guy, I will. Be clean. That's love. Jesus is love walking on two legs. And nobody can kill love. Love is stronger than death. May we love like Jesus. When we see him, we will love like him because we want to look like him. He restored sanity to the insane and gave him clothes, then turned him into an evangelist to Decapolis. Mark chapter 5 from verse 1 to 20. You remember the story of the madman of Gadara? The guy was naked. He was tearing his, he had no more clothes to tear. He was tearing his skin, his own skin, because he had torn all his clothes. He was now tearing his skin when Jesus met him. Met him in that bad condition. Cast out the devil out of him first of all. That's love in action. You don't, you hate it when people suffer. That's love in action. Why should this guy be suffering? A young man with potential. He couldn't go to university because he had lost it. He had lost it upstairs. He was demented. He was crazy. So Jesus dealt with the spiritual root first. Now you foul devil, get out of him. They got out. A legion went out of him. That's somewhere between 3,000 to 6,000 foot soldiers. That makes a legion. So there were about 3,000 to 6,000 evil spirits, demons in one man. How can such a man be normal? He didn't just heal him and left him naked. Because the Bible says that when the people of the town came to check what had happened, they found the guy seated. It was, can you put that script, that verse for me? He was clothed and he was in his right mind. He was seated. That guy never sat. Maybe verse 17 or so. Can you go there quickly? Media, can you look at that for me? Quick. Okay, so backpedal to like verse 15. This was when they began to pray him to get out of their coast. And so they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Now, when they saw him, what did they see? The one that had the legion, right? Right? Now, one, he was sitting. That guy never sat. Demons make you uncomfortable. He was housing 6,000 demons. One demon is bad enough. 6,000. How would he sit? No wonder. The Bible says he was always in the mountains and in the tombs. He was living in the cemetery. In the cemetery, he would be crying all night, shouting, wailing, screaming, because he had no peace. He wanted to sleep. The demons didn't allow him to sleep. Because if he slept, maybe his sanity would be restored. They didn't allow him to sleep. So he had permanent, what do you call that thing now? Insomnia. He couldn't sit. You couldn't get him to sit down. Sit where? They couldn't bind him. When they bound him, he broke the chains. He had the power of 6,001 people. One man army. When you say one man army, he could pull down a wall. He could destroy a whole building. Because he had supernatural power of demons living in him. But in one moment, with the love of God, one moment, those eyes with liquid love looked at him. And the demons screamed out of him. They went into the pigs. The pigs could not accommodate them for 5 minutes. All of the pigs went down into a steep. They went down to the river and they drowned. They could not accommodate the demons. At least maybe two demons per pig. No, they couldn't. They drowned. But a human being accommodated. We don't know how long he accommodated the demons. But Jesus, when he came, showed him love. He didn't just show him love. He brought some clothes. I figure when they were coming from the other side, in Mark chapter 4, you know the last verse, Jesus said, guys, let's go over to the other side. And then there was a storm. The devil tried to stop them from coming to the coast of the Gadarenes because Jesus was going to come and heal a madman and turn him into an evangelist. So Satan tried to stop him because every time a child of God is, listen to me, church, every time you're trying to make progress with your life, expect resistance from Satan. Expect it. And please try to be smarter than him. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? I'm sure I must have told Peter and the rest of them, guys, get some very nice designer clothes as we are moving to the other side. And they wondered, oh Lord, are we going to stay for long? Why are we taking clothes? Yeah, we're going to heal a madman. Of course, maybe he didn't reveal the plans to them, but in his mind, we're going to heal a madman. We're going to have to give him nice clothes to wear because as an evangelist or as a pastor, you need good clothes to wear. If you're wearing rags, nobody will listen to you. So they took clothes along. The Bible says he was sitting, and then number two, he was what? Come on, talk to me, church. He was what? Clothed. He was clothed. So Jesus brought the clothes. Amen? No friend brought the clothes. Who could have given him clothes? Clothes care. Somebody they couldn't approach. They had left him. He would kill them if they came close to him. Number three, and in his right mind, he restored sanity to him. And they were afraid because nobody in the world could do this. Nobody. He had become the madman of Gadara. That was his new name, the madman. Maybe there were other madmen, but their madness did not get to his own level. His level had been taken, the level of his madness had been taken to the level of industry, such that he had become the face of madness in Gadara. The Bible describes him as the madman of Gadara. But Jesus changed his status. So the more we see Jesus, the more our status will change. Did you hear what I said now? If you need an upgrade of your status, can you look into the Word of God? Can you spend time meditating the Word? Can you spend time fellowshipping with Jesus? Because he will upgrade you. Upgrade you from third class to first class. Jesus will upgrade your life. He upgraded this guy. Gave him a new beginning. When the guy wanted to go with him, he said, no, don't go with me. Go back home. Go and tell your friends of the good things that the Lord has done for you. He turned him into an evangelist. And the guy was preaching throughout Decapolis. Decapolis is a combination of 10 metropolitans or 10 cities. One man. And he went everywhere telling them. What do you think his message was? Come on, talk to me. What do you think his message was? I met a man. I was mad. But I met a man. His name is Jesus. He cured me of madness. Look, you're looking at the madman of Gadara. But no longer madman. This is now the sinnest man in Gadara. I now have the mind of Christ. Glory be to God. May we see Jesus beyond the letters of the Bible in our heart. There is no way you see Jesus and you won't change. Nobody will preach to you again, stop drinking alcohol. When you see Jesus, you will hate alcohol. When you see Jesus, you will run away from fornication. This is one that they're checking on you. Your parents are trying to check your status, your yellow page, your Instagram, your everything. No, and you are blocking them and muting them. You won't need to do that. When you encounter Jesus, all of a sudden your senses will reset. And you will realize that your body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives in my body, and I cannot use the body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, for sin anymore. No, it's not about punishment. It's not about the fear of punishment. It's about an encounter that I've had with Jesus. And I realize that I'm not cheap. Sin is very cheap. Sin is very cheap, and I don't do cheap things. I'm expensive. You want to have sex with me, young man? You know what you're going to do? First of all, are you born again? And then, you know, you need to talk to my parents. You need to see my parents. They need to give their consent, and I'll take you to my church. And my pastor is going to grill you. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. One lady came from Europe. She had been chatting with a young man that I knew. And the young man was being helped by another man, you know, who he had a Facebook account, and he was using the Facebook account to chat with the young lady. And the lady would ask, are you born again? And the man that was chatting on his behalf knew the Bible. He would say yes. The lady would ask, what do you know about evangelism? What do you know about water baptism? What do you know about baptism of the Holy Ghost? And the man using the Facebook account will supply all the answers. Finally, I'm not telling you a story, I'm telling you what happened. And I'm telling you, I know the three people involved. Well, two out of the three. I don't know the lady. Finally, I guess she was the child of the Most High God. The lady came to Nigeria. Came with the other person that was using the Facebook on behalf of the guy who was actually trying to matchmake them. Flew to Nigeria, got to the Muritala Muhammad Airport in Lagos. And they were looking for this guy who was supposed to come and welcome them. Anyway, the man that brought her knew the terrain. So they checked out their bags and all from the carousel. And then they were going out to the arrival lounge. And when they got to the arrival, they found this guy in a corner because there are shops there where you could buy things, alcohol and whatever you want. And they saw him smoking. They walked into him with cigarettes in his mouth. The lady said, no way. This is not my husband. You know what? You have to take me back. A couple of days, change the ticket. This is not my husband. This is not my husband. God helped her because she could have been deceived into marriage because the guy wanted papers. He wanted to relocate to Europe. May you not walk into the hands of a Yahoo boy that wants to use you for ritual. He just bought me a nice car, bought me an iPhone 15 Pro Max. You don't know the heart of man? What you don't know, you don't know. What you don't know, you don't know. That's why you need to pray this prayer. That the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. How much will anybody give you that will make you waste your life? You now become the sacrificial lamb. For him to now be flexing with other babes. See, your own chapter has closed. Dull. You're very dull. That's why I say dull. Our eyes can get dim sometimes. Our sensitivity to the things of the spirit can be dull. That's why we need to be praying this prayer every day. Including pastor. Pastors sometimes can be the most gullible in the world. We believe every story. Somebody comes, you know, I've not eaten since 2 days ago. There was a young man, I used to pay school fees. I thought I was paying school fees. So I thought, he was a brother in the church. I was paying school fees, paying school fees, paying school fees. One day his brother came to church. His elder brother came to church. Pastor Fred, good afternoon, sir. I said, good afternoon, bro. I'm the elder brother of this young man. I said, oh, very good. How have you been? I'm good, sir. Stop giving him money in his presence. This is not somebody snitching on him. In his presence. Sir, stop giving him money. You have been giving him money. He's been using your money to gamble at Naira Bet, roundabout. When last did you pay school fees? He had even left school. Today, he's begging for money. He sent me a text about 2 weeks ago. And I'm talking about when Expression House was an afternoon church. That's the time I'd been paying school fees till we moved here. It was in this hall. The brother came and said, I should stop giving him money. I thought I was training somebody in technical school in Uritakberin. I thought he was learning how to have skills to use to feed himself in the future. So I told him that day, I said, you know what? You have eaten your tomorrow today. I'm no longer a MAGA. I was MAGA. I should have known. Why didn't he know? So you see, my own eyes of understanding too should be enlightened. People come with all kinds of stories. Out of compassion, you want to help. You want to be a blessing. But there's a thin line between compassion and magaciousness. Before you know it, they turn you to an ATM. And that's why you see some pastors don't give anything again. They have now become very hard. The people that now genuinely need help are not getting help. Because some scammers have spoiled the show for them. Sent me a text 2 weeks ago. Pastor friend, 2 a.m. at 2 a.m. Only does a normal person send a text at 2 a.m.? Live in the same country. You're not living in Canada or U.S. Pastor, just 500 naira to eat before I die. So I sent, he asked for 500, I sent 1,000. I could have sent more. I sent 1,000. I said, eat before you die. If you know how much I wasted on that guy, you wouldn't blame me. There was a day he went to eat somewhere. They sold the food to him because he knew he had lost credibility with me. He told the lady selling the food to call me. So the lady called me. I said, how much food did he buy? I said, 500. I said, send me your pampe. She said, she had pampe. I said, your own pampe, not his own, no. Your own pampe. And I'm talking about someone who is not a small person, who is an adult. His mates in the Expression House then are all over the world now, married, settled with children. He cannot even feed his own mouth now. And I preached to him. I taught him God's word. In fact, sometimes he would even quote the scriptures to me. Pastor, you taught this one. But then he left this church, you know. I went to the church of one guy that is a very popular prophet in Ibadan. That guy would keep them in church till about 3 p.m. Somewhere around Alessio Loyer there. He was there for a long time. Then he left the place and went to Vine Branch. So he was roving from church to church. A rolling stone gathers no moss. Unfortunately, from Stone Church. So he became a rolling stone. We are stable stones. And so we are gathering growth. Amen? Amen. What are you looking for? when your eyes of understanding are enlightened, you will see Jesus like you should. You will realize, according to 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're living in fornication right now, it simply means that you are still walking in darkness. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, I close. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This scripture hits me as I woke up to pray at 1 a.m. this morning. I stayed awake all night. It was the scripture that came to me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Anyone that follows me will never, didn't say will not, never. Because as long as you are following Jesus, you are following the light. You will never walk in darkness. Jesus will never mislead you. Listen, church, he will not mislead you into a wrong business. He will not mislead you into a wrong relationship. He will not mislead you into a wrong gathering. He will not mislead you into anything outside of his will, because he is the light. If you keep following the light, then you have the light of life. I have the light of life. If you are born again this morning, you have Jesus in your heart, you have the light of life. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Ephesians 4, 17 to 19. Paul was talking about certain people there. And he said concerning them, Ephesians 4, 17 to 19, quick, real quick, please. This I say unto you, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. People are vain in this world. It's about worldly things. It's about material things. It's about how big your car is. It's about having the latest outfit, the latest phone, latest car. You know, all vanity that people are pursuing. Next verse, he said, having their understanding darkened. Like fallen Adam. Having their understanding darkened. Was that not why Paul prayed? That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Many have their understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God. They are aliens, strangers to the life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Kai. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Who been past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Today, because some people want to have content on social media because of monetization, you see grown women, married women, run to the camera, open their wrapper. Some people's mother. Some play some funny games. Somebody will call them and say, oh yeah, go and have your bath now. Have your bath. Oh yeah, be having your bath in public. Even though you are wearing your clothes, right? You are having your bath. You are taking sponge. You are brushing yourself all over in the front of a camera because of 20,000 naira. They have the eyes of their understanding completely blind. No sense of self-worth. No respect for womanhood. A lady will go to nightclub and it's just your pants and bra and a net gown and they can see through everything. Your eyes of understanding are not darkened, they are blind. What many of you don't remember is that the internet does not forget. A day is coming, you're going to get married, you're going to have children, your children will see it. Don't be afraid in the name of Jesus. Facebook will delete it. Instagram will delete it. Everybody will delete it. Even what you delete is going somewhere. There's something called cloud. And when your enemies, some of you may have political ambition. Your enemies know where to go to bring out from the recycle bin and show your life like this. This is your life outside. Some celebrities, I'm told, they deliberately leak their own nude. They call it maybe sex tape or something like that. Because everybody will start talking. Their whatever will generate traffic. Everybody, have you seen? Have you seen the latest? And people can't sleep all night. Oh, yeah, send me. Do you have the link? Send. Even you that you're asking to send, your eyes of understanding are darkened. You see, but the person that made it is blind. But your own case, you need help. You need spiritual glasses. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Why are we wasting our data? Why are we wasting our time? Why are we spending energy on vanity? Does it add to your life? If, for example, you didn't sleep all night, now you watch porn all night, from one leak tape to sex tape to all of that, all night, will you wake up in the morning and First Bank will say, dear customer, with the account number 2022378, no, the SSSS996, your account has just been credited with 1.5 million naira for viewing leak tapes all night. We realize you are a very faithful customer. Will University of Ibadan confer you with a honors, with a degree for watching pornography? Vanity. They walk in the vanity of their mind. I pray for you young people. You will never waste your time again in the name of Jesus. Anything wasting your time is a life waster. Life is measured in the unit of time. How do you know your age? They told you were born so-so time. It was timed. You were 16 last year. By the grace of God, you won't be 15 this year. You will be 17. And next year, you are going to be 18. Do you take stock and see, what have I done with my life? What have I done? Suddenly dawned on me, I'm going to be 45 this year, man. It used to look very far away, like, when somebody's 45, Now I'm saying, 24 hours, you have to check. I'm going to a birthday service now for one of the general overseers in Ibadan. Baba Debu is coming, and I'm one of the people to anchor the service. Glory be to God. Amen. The man is 70. Yesterday we were together, and so many people from different places, and I could see the way he was still talking with passion at 70. I said, but in the night, sir, your body will tell you now you are 70. My father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adebo, also will be 70 in July. One of the things I want to ask him when I go to him is, Baba, how does being 70 feel? Because when I joined this church, Baba was in his 40s. I remember his 50th birthday. I was one of the MCs, and Brother Kola Akintoba, two of us were MCs at his 60th birthday. And it's so shocking to me that 10 years is just gone like that. My people, what are you doing with your time? Who are you allowing into your privacy to waste your time? Idle talks. All they know is gist, gist, gist. Begin to run away from such people. Begin to block them. If you don't block them, they will block your destiny. Begin to block them. Right now, my every minute counts. As I'm talking to you now, they are waiting for me at Getsemani. Every moment it takes me to drive to that place counts. I'm so busy back to back, I'm enjoying it. No time to be idle. To sleep safe now. Now walk. Because even when I'm sleeping, I'm calculating the time. Stand on your feet, everybody. Precious Holy Spirit, I ask that you breathe on your word this morning. You know how much I love these people, your children. Lord, the only prayer I want to drop today, Lord Jesus, the head of the church, is that you will personally reveal yourself to these young people. Beyond my words, Lord, beyond what I've said, beyond every analogy, beyond every example, Lord, I ask that you will please reveal yourself to them. Some might have taken offense by one statement or the other that I made, but Lord, help them to be smarter than the devil so that they can see the truth that would make them free and not hold on to offense that would keep them on the spot. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for all of you. From today, you will begin to make progress. And I'm saying again, you will begin to make progress. And I'm saying again, you will begin to make progress. As you become intentional with your time and with your resources, in 1 week, by the end of this week, when you do your appraisal, you will be giving glory to God. Because you will have supernatural acceleration. In your studies, God will help you. In your business, God will help you. In your health, God will help you. In your relationship, God will help you. Those of you going to the next level and you don't even know what to do with your life. You are done with school, but you're asking, what do I do? How do I make the best of my time? The Holy Spirit will reveal to you insights, concepts, and ideas. You will rule the world. Satan will not rule over you anymore. You will rule over Satan in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we honor you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, somebody shout amen.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.